What happened was, either you or someone you called touched the infinite computer of soul. There was an invisible resurrection that took place. A serious condition changed. A healing appeared where the serious condition had been. But all because soul was activated in some manner. The infinite computer brought Lazarus forth. The infinite computer performs the miracles in spite of any apparent error. But sometimes it doesn't work the way you imagine it ought to. That's because the infinite computer always works perfectly, and we have concepts about what we think perfection is. We do not see the whole, complete picture. And so many times, the perfection of the computer works in an invisible way for the benefit of the progression of an individual, rather than for our idea of how it should have worked. And if you think about it from time to time, when you wonder why Spirit didn't do something you thought it ought to do, and if you look back at it after a year or two, you may find an answer. Sometimes you can't find it right in the heat of the moment. Remember, the infinite computer never fails. It is always working to serve the spiritual interest. It is always building inner progression. Trust it. Live in it. Depend on it. Take another situation, not an error with a possible repercussions, but something that happens in your life that you didn't cause, something that happened in spite of you, happened from another source in your direction. Now what are you going to do? Where is your infinite computer? It is your soul. It is flawless. Return out of human thought to your soul. Rest there, trusting. And this negative force, seemingly coming at you, influencing you, hurting you, brushes up against your soul consciousness. Now, your soul sees no evil, hears no evil, recognizes no evil. It is uninfluenced by the evil that you are aware of. And that which seemingly is disturbing or attacking you does not disturb or attack your soul. It resists no evil, which is what you must learn to do, and it does it for you. Learn to use this weapon, not by directing it, but by surrendering to it. And all that seemingly threatens you will meet the non-resistance of the soul, which is a perfect thinker and a perfect power, expressing all of your divinity in relationship to that specific incident. Another way to return quickly to your soul, we had last night, at least it seems like last night, this that was so real to you, this error, this threat, this lack, this limitation, is not happening. That's how you return to your soul. And I want to tell you, that's very vital and very important and very effective. It's the first step of returning to your soul. If you think the error, the threat, the destruction, the disturbance is happening, you've lost it. If you really think it's happening, you've lost it. You see? Now, we're not going to live in two worlds. Not at this point. We're not going to live between two worlds. We live in the kingdom. And it may appear that we're in this world. We're not going to think, oh yes, I'm spirit and living in the spirit, but after all, I'm still this human mortal self, and I've got these human footsteps. No, no. If you do, you've lost it again. You're making the effort to step out of the belief in a human self. You're crucifying mortality. And while you go through the appearance of human footsteps, you are living consciously in your soul, in the kingdom of God. And that is different than living between two worlds. I don't care if you're slicing the thickest steak on a juicy platter. Your consciousness rests in your soul, in the kingdom of God. And I know it is possible. That's where you give your priorities. After a while, it's not even a conscious activity. It's almost an unconscious activity. Just like breathing is. Because this is where you naturally gravitate. Each morning, that's where you go. Each day, that's where you try to remain and return as frequently as you stray, as you become aware that you've strayed. And day by day, your straying diminishes. Your soul helps you do this. The fruits of it are so outstanding that they're more important to you than anything else. And now, as we do this, we find that a divine rhythm is creeping into our daily life. You can feel it. It's as thick as butter. It's a texture all its own. And it has that feeling of effortlessness about it. Like, how in the world did this beautiful thing happen without my doing it? Something is moving things from the invisible. You know it. These are some of the fruits, some of the signs. At first, you need these signs. But later, you don't need them. You get them, but you don't need them as much. Because you know that your own spiritual body is where you're living. You're not living in form. You're not trapped. Your soul begins to release you more and more from the sense that you live in form, that you live in your monthly dividends, that you live in your social security check. You begin to see that more as spirit manifesting as supply. You begin to feel the secret of supply coming from the invisible. Oh, sure, they come in a certain physical way. Whereas before you thought it was the government or your stockbroker, you begin to realize it's your own soul furnishing that which you call supply out here. And when it isn't forthcoming, it's because you're not in your soul. Your soul must furnish supply. It's a law. And your human sense of self must live in that soul by stepping out of human sense. Now, the soul is going to take you higher than Social Security and stocks and dividends. It takes you into spiritual supply, which is life itself. It takes you into a different way of breathing. It takes you into a heartbeat that never stops. That's a different kind of supply. It takes you into a life that does not depend on birth and death. It takes you into a life that is self-existent, depending on no outer circumstance. It produces its own. The more you become indoctrinated in the capacity, the willingness, the need to live in your soul, the more you discover the infinite nature of your soul. I hate to go into personal experiences, but so many soul expressions come into your life to tell you that you are moving in a definite ascending progression that is almost impossible to find the energy to leave your soul. It's almost like a magnet. It holds you because it is so miraculous. And when you see what it does, not only for you, but for others who are brought into the aura of your soul activity, which in turn opens their soul activity, this is like catnip to a cat. All you can think of is, this is where life is. I've got to immerse myself deeper. I've got to immerse in that pool of Siloam. I've got to remain constant in the soul universe. The mind universe ceases to have anything of value. It is all perishable. The perishables do not have the magnetic power that they had. They cannot give you the divine expression of life. The perishables can only give you temporary satisfaction of human appetites. You lose a taste for them. You know then that this is another sign. The false appetites that once were so powerful aren't there. The cravings of all types, they simply are not there. And these are the signs that you have passed many milestones, many areas that had been disaster for you in previous incarnations no longer are. And you're willing then to put more trust, more effort into even decreasing whatever mortality is left. Because the prize of divinity realized, not just divinity known to your mind, but divinity realized, is within reaching distance. It almost paralyzes your bloodstream to think that you're that close. I hope these signs have been coming to you in sufficient abundance to make your direction almost irresistible, so that you have caught the total sequence that you must return to your divine birth, and that soul is the method, and your capacity to change your concepts that are mortal to the realization of immortality now releases you into that soul, which in turn will weave your wedding garment. I am a soul. My soul is an infinite computer. Third day. My soul is a bride preparing for a bridegroom. My soul is a bride preparing for a bridegroom. That's the meditation for your third day. What does that mean? Think on it, please. This day, my soul is opening itself to my spirit. Spirit is the groom. My soul is the bride. This day, my soul is seeking out my spirit. This day, my soul is inviting my spirit. This day, my soul is seeking union with my spirit. Today, I am a soul preparing for... I am a soul, a bride, preparing for a bridegroom. Turn that into a conscious activity in which everywhere you go, you look for the spiritual content of what is before you. That's how the bride prepares for the bridegroom. Look for the spiritual content in everything you see and do. Stocks and bonds? Fine. See it as an invisible spiritual activity providing supply. Food? See it as an invisible spiritual activity providing energy. You see what I'm saying? Look for the spiritual purpose behind what is appearing. In everything you do, you're sharpening a pencil, look for the spiritual activity behind that pencil. What's it going to be used for? What's the spiritual purpose behind a pencil? Find it. The soul, the bride, is preparing for a bridegroom. And so the bride must recognize who the bridegroom is. You see? Look for that spirit, that bridegroom, in everything. If you're peeling an orange, look for the spirit. Look for the bridegroom where that orange is. Train yourself to think that way. That is a different focus. It's turning away from the world to the invisible cause of all things. You're turning to the one creative source. What is this? What is the creative purpose that finally appears to me as an orange that I'm peeling? You'll find answers that will surprise you. That's your third day. I'd like to dwell with that a while. Today I am the soul, the bride, looking for the bridegroom in everything I see. I'm looking into everything material, seeing its spiritual origin. That's a lot different than walking in a visible mortal universe alone. And I know some are saying, how'll I ever get my work done? Look at your work and look behind it for the bridegroom. Look right behind your work for the bridegroom. And, oh, will you do your work differently? I mean differently. You'll see the spiritual purpose of your work. And you will cooperate and coordinate your outer earthly activity with that spiritual purpose, and your entire motivation will be different. You find a way to serve the spirit. Not to rape it. Not to go in there to plunder. Not to go in there to serve myself, my human being. You'll find a way to turn it all around Once you look for the bridegroom behind your work, you will almost begin to treasure that work from a new viewpoint. Look for the bridegroom behind your marriage. Look for the bridegroom behind every relationship. Today I am a bride. Preparing the way for the bridegroom. To do this, I must know the bridegroom, the invisible spiritual cause behind all things. Look hard and look deep, and then look with your soul. Let your soul itself bring to conscious remembrance, the truth of all being. Now this is what you're trying to do, but you're in the wilderness, and it has its own motivation, its own purposes. While you're trying to do this, the world will be doing its thing. You're not working in a laboratory where you control the circumstances. I know that. The boss will shout. The car ahead of you will have a flat tire at the wrong moment. The unexpected will always come at you. Another crisis will arrive somewhere. It always does. But it usually arrives when you're not living as the soul, the bride, looking for the bridegroom. Will the same number of crises arise? The same number of errors? The same number of disturbances? Or will they disappear before they ever make themselves known? If I go before you, you will discover. Your search for the bridegroom in all things activates the infinite computer called soul. My soul is omnipotent. Fourth day. My soul is omnipotent. Yes, my soul is omniscient. But its omnipotence comes from the seventh day, or the third heaven. The Christ, which is omnipotent, functions through my soul. And so my soul expresses the omnipotence of Christ. My soul is omnipotent. This, realized in meditation, as you walk forth on that fourth day, is different than saying God is omnipotent. Yes, you know God is omnipotent, but the omnipotence of God functions through your soul and not through your mind. There's no link up between God and your mind, but there is between God and your soul. So it's important to know that the omnipotence that is God does function, is functioning, and it will manifest only through your soul. And so, in shorthand, you're saying, my soul is omnipotent, but you're realizing it is expressing the omnipotence of God, the omnipotence of Christ, the omnipotence of Spirit. And it is doing it, regardless of what I see. Just to know it's omnipotent, but to think that something in this world can occur of an undivine nature is to believe that your soul is not omnipotent. It is doing its job. Its omnipotence is expressing question, is it expressing in your experience? That depends on whether you accept what the world mind is throwing in your path. If you accept what the world mind throws before you, you're not accepting that your soul is omnipotent. You're thinking it's omnipotent sometime, but not this time. It is constant. You must trust it to be working, and therefore that which denies it is the lie. That's how this cosmic filter, this cosmic mind, this cosmic stone is removed. Your soul is always expressing omniscience, always expressing omnipotence, and it is always omnipresent. These are factors that are happening. If you are true to that, it will manifest in this time universe. That's your fourth day. Now let's be quiet with the omnipotence of your soul. And take some discordant thing in your life and make the correction. Your senses tell you you have a discord. Believe it not. Your mortal sense of you has a discord. Go beyond trying to make your soul correct that discord in your mortal world. Go beyond that. That's the tragic trap. Oh, I have a soul. It will correct this discord in my mortal life. That's the trap. That's how Mr. Satan always gives us the bait that we fall into. Oh, no. That's not the way you live successfully in the wilderness. This disturbance that my mortal sense knows is a cosmic suggestion. Oh, I know, it's very close at home. It's disrupting everything in my life. But that's the hypnotism. No, no, it's not happening. It is not happening. Look for the spirit behind the appearance of this disturbance. Look for the spiritual bridegroom. Find it. Embrace the spirit. Know it well. Believe it, but embrace it with your spirit. Until there is one spirit where there had been a mortal mind. When you are spirit, and the reality behind the bridegroom is spirit, and you are resting in spiritual identity, can you honestly say there is a disturbance? Until you reach that level, you'll have your disturbance. There isn't spirit only where you are. There's spirit omnipresent, and there's no one else there but spirit. Can you reach that total acceptance that only the presence of spirit is there? Then you're in the omnipresence of spirit. Then you found the bridegroom. And now your soul will exult. This isn't true for the next 5 minutes. And it's not untrue if when you open your eyes or go home, the disturbance is still there. It's always true. The disturbance is only a cosmic thought. It is not divine thought. It is untrue. And when you are able to obliterate it in your consciousness and know that it cannot be, because spirit is omnipresent and has no opposite, where is the disturbance? It's in the world that is not. When you reach this total, absolute truth in consciousness, Even the appearance of the disturbance will not disturb you. It cannot. You can't be disturbed by a phantom, by a shadow. If you are disturbed, you are part of the disturbance. You are back in a physical you. And that's why you're disturbed. I cannot be disturbed. If I can be, then I have lost my awareness of identity. Make spirit omnipresent in your consciousness. Look for no healings about it. Just rest in the truth. The truth is self-existent. Don't get out a yardstick to measure the improvement. Get back into your all-spiritual universe, knowing that even when I come out back into the appearance world, that disturbance that appears is simply an unsubstantial appearance, a shadow. It may even be a flesh and blood shadow, but it is a mortal shell. You've got to go all the way. Omnipotence, then, means that the power of spirit is always functioning. And the only reason you're experiencing a disturbance is because you can experience the omnipotence of spirit only in your soul. Is that clear? When you find soul awareness, you will not find the disturbance. And that goes with human relations, germs, disabilities, whatever. And so for 20 minutes or 20 days, the appearance of the disturbance will be there. But hold fast. Don't be tempted out into the world of human belief. And your reward will be quick, sharp, and powerful when it comes. It will be well worth waiting for. When it comes, it will be like a bolt out of the blue, an instantaneous revelation that the disturbance never was there. I don't want to speak words. I want this to be consciousness. But out of experience, we have discovered that these things are true. Omnipotence is always functioning, and whatever denies it is a lie. Rise to soul awareness, and that omnipotence will be experienced in a concrete, visible way in the appearance called time. On the fifth day, last night I asked, I think it was this morning, it's been going so fast, this morning probably, we had our five, and I included an extra one called All Reality Is Now. I would like that to be in this series of five. All reality is now. And when you take that into your morning meditation, it must be amplified by your conscious thought. When you say to yourself that all reality is now, that means that everything that is in the so-called past or the future is now. Nothing new will be added to reality, so that all eternity is now. All infinity is now. But it also means something else. It means that what is reality is all that is now, and that nothing but reality is now. And so please include that in your contemplation before you enter your meditation. And that brings up something that I fear too many of us have neglected. You know, and I know, that meditation is not always effective. We seem to be earthbound. We seem to be hammering away at some invisible blockage, and we don't get through. Well, of course, if we don't enter the soul realm. Or we don't enter the realm of our own soul, but rather we remain within this eager, anxious mind. Now then, if you cannot meditate successfully with these principles, there's no cause for alarm. There's a step that is missing, or several steps. The first would be that you're not preceding the meditation with a true contemplation. And if you're not contemplating, you're trying to go too suddenly out of human thought into soul awareness. So contemplation is a bridge, a very vital bridge, and it involves going into conscious thought about the subject, the theme of or principle that you're trying to make part of your permanent awareness. And so you contemplate it. I know I've said this over 19 years now, but it's still important, especially to people I haven't said it to, that unless you're contemplating before you meditate, it's like jumping into cold water too fast. If you haven't learned how to come right into your meditation, you've got to first bridge the gap with a contemplation, which is a very simple thing. Just bring into mind those facets of the subject you're working with and try to think of what is the truth about them. It's truth you're after. It's truth that opens your soul. And these principles open your soul because they're principles of truth. And truth is very simple. If Jesus said it, it's true. If Joel said it, it's true. If you've heard the voice, whatever it said, it's true. If you had a realization, it wasn't true just for that moment. It's always true. And so go to something you know is true and dwell with it. Contemplate it. Sip it like wine, rest with it. And suddenly there's a nice, pleasant, relaxing oasis within your consciousness. There was a time when the Father made a statement to you. Bring it into remembrance. What did the Father say to you? It wasn't just true that day, that moment. It's true eternally. The Father only speaks eternal truth. So when you had this realization or voice or thought presented to you from the Spirit, think of it now. What was it? Did you possibly hear something of a stupendous nature? Think of it. Did you feel something of a stupendous nature? Think of that. Contemplate it by sipping it slowly. I have actually used statements from the Father that came as far back as 19 years ago, and I could use them today, and they're just as incredibly effective as the moment they were given, because they're permanent truth. They're not yesterday's manna. They're permanent manna. It's true, you'll get new ones, and you don't rely on yesterday's manna, but for the purpose of contemplation, it serves a purpose. You rest there. It's almost as if once more you're saying to the Father, thank you. Thank you for this marvelous idea, this marvelous statement, this marvelous feeling you gave. I'm reliving it. And it's taking me back almost instantly to that joyous inner oasis. It's taking me so deeply within that I suddenly know it's taking me to the kingdom within. The kingdom within my soul. And there I am dwelling. This becomes an infinite experience. All three heavens contribute to this experience because all three heavens are the Son of God. The Son of God is the first, second, and third heaven, the Trinity, the soul, the Spirit, and the Christ. All three heavens are the Son of God that you are. And in this peaceful contemplation, you are turning the key in the lock of the three heavens. Conscious union is being woven into your consciousness. All static from the world is being dissolved. The suggestion of separation from your eternal source is being thinned into insignificance. The Father within declares, I am the life. I am the truth and the resurrection. You feel close to your source. So close that I and my source are actually one. Everywhere I am, where there had been a disturbance, only I am. There can only be a disturbance where there are two. The one disturbed and the disturbing influence. But now, in oneness, who is there to disturb who? Oneness realized dissipates the false suggestion. And if it dissipates it in your consciousness, it has no place to manifest. Only reality can be present. All that is unreal is not here. The disturbance falls into unreality. Only reality is here. Only reality is now. And all reality is now. Again, lose personal self. Rest in the allness of your own infinite being. And I assure you, the infinite computer will manifest the result of your inner realization. Not your inner human thought, but rather the realization that comes from the divine through your soul. It will manifest. It is a law. so makes the word flesh. We are finding a divine rhythm, and it coordinates our earth activity with our soul effortlessly. Your contemplation led to meditation. Your meditation led to your soul. Stone is rolled away with no effort.